Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Think Now Research Podcast. This is our monthly podcast in which we go over our most recent report. Think Now Research is a culturally integrated market research agency. We integrate Hispanic, African American, and Asian insights into custom market research for companies and government agencies looking to thrive in a changing demographic environment. You can find us on the web at thinknowresearch.com and on Twitter at thinknowtweets. My name is Mario Carrasco. I'm co-founder and principal of Think Now Research, and I'm here today with Angelica Garcia, Director of Strategy and Insights for the award-winning full-service agency Acento Advertising. Angelica, great to have you on the Think Now Research podcast today. Would you mind telling our audience a little bit more about your work with Acento?
Of course. We are Acento. We opened our doors about 30 years ago as a Hispanic agency, and as the market has evolved, we are not a total market agency, and what we do is, my department is in charge of insights. So we're in charge of being the voice of the consumer and staying on top of trends and anything that might be affecting our clients, and giving that voice in here to the creative so they can develop the award-winning creative that you just mentioned.
Great, great. And I know you have some deep experience with finance and financial, personal finance, and that's why I invited you on this podcast, because this month we will be going over our Think Now Money study focused on opinions regarding personal finance among the total market. This report is available at no cost on thinknowresearch.com in our download section. Feel free to pause the podcast now and download so you can follow along, but we'll do our best to explain the data that we're discussing. A little bit on the methodology. We conducted an online survey among a representative sample of 500 U.S. Hispanics, 250 non-Hispanic whites, 250 African Americans, and 250 Asians. Before we dive in, I'd like to thank our executive sponsor, Lucid. Lucid is the world's largest audience platform for sourcing and understanding human answers. Real deterministic data about human behavior at scale. The company has built the largest and most powerful programmatic survey marketplace and has enabled brands, agencies, and partners to ask and answer more than 14 billion questions worldwide. With a pool of 80 million plus unique respondents, Lucid delivers unprecedented access to consumers for data-driven decision-making about everything from marketing to product development in real time. Lucid is headquartered in New Orleans, with offices in London and New Delhi. So let's jump into slide six here. We were discussing this a little bit before we started the podcast. And we see that overall, when we ask the question for the respondents to select a point in the scale which best describes how they feel with specifically agree completely or somewhat, we see that most Americans express at least some concern about their financial future. And looking at the different cohorts, we see that Hispanics specifically are the most concerned overall. Asian Americans are the least. And Asian Americans are also least likely to feel financially overwhelmed. Angelica, I mean, what are your thoughts there in terms of what you're seeing, how that's changed historically, and how that's different now?
So historically, what we've seen is that Hispanic and African American were the most concerned about the financial future in the past, and now we see a more of a leveling of these measures, not with Asian, as you have in the data. And I think it underscores the uncertainty of today's environment, because finance is a big part of what's happening to the market. They are not sure what's going to happen to their financial lives. So, and in essence, they are very concerned. And they're also getting financially overwhelmed, because we've seen in the data that we recently, a study we recently did, is that they're experiencing reduction in work hours, reduced salaries. Even though they're not losing their jobs, they're getting less money. So that has a lot of people very concerned.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm with this data, we're always trying to bring it back. And that's why I'm excited to have you on, because, you know, we focus here on the research and kind of putting out this data, but ultimately we wanted to have practical implications for brands. And of course, the biggest implications here are financial services. I mean, from your perspective, what can companies, brands, and the financial services industries do in relation to this feeling of overwhelmed? I mean, is it changing the messaging, adjustments of products or services? I mean, what are some steps that brands, companies in this sector can take to, make people feel better about the environment we're in financially?
I think there's so many news out there. What companies can do is just changing a little bit of a narrative. Giving people peace of mind that their money is safe, that it's okay to invest, it's okay to save, and just helping people with tools to do so. Because we see that people don't know how to save, but there's ways that they can do that. So products that help that, financial literacy is big, supporting the market. We don't want to go back to an era where people save money under the mattress. So we want to make sure that people have the tools so that would take them to the future.
I like that. And I think it's really relevant now because, as you pointed out, every cohort, of course, except for Asian Americans, every cohort is feeling some kind of pressure, right? And we're always, and a lot of the times in our industry, we tend to focus on the Hispanic or African Americans, but non-Hispanic whites, we look 60% of African Americans concerned about their financial future, and 58% of whites. So that messaging, it's going to resonate, of course, with multicultural, but also non-Hispanic white.
Yeah, it resonates with every cohort because every cohort is experiencing at some point an increased cost of living, and that uncertainty about the future just affects everyone right now. So that's what brands can do, just giving them tools, and it's a reassuring message that we're here to help, and we can help them with strategies to get to a better future.
Yeah, and you made a perfect segue here into the next slide 7. We looked at saving in specifically, right? Looking at the statement, I am actually saving money and or investing for my retirement. I have enough money saved for a rainy day. Saving money is difficult for me. I do not make enough money to save at all. We see that overall, 4 in 10 say they don't make enough money to save. So your point to making people feel better about saving is spot on. And we see across the segment, again, Asian Americans most likely to be saving. A slight majority say they are saving or investing for their retirement. But looking at the other cohorts, again, we see people struggling to save. And I guess this is related to kind of financial insecurity, instability, or, I mean, what's your thought about this data point here specifically?
Saving money is more difficult for me. I think that has to do with two things. One is a lot of our markets, of our segments, are living paycheck by paycheck. So they have a hard time saving. But also, they need help with strategies on how to save, because they might be spending money on things that are not needed or overspending in some areas that they shouldn't be. So what they did need is help with strategies on how to save.
Yeah, agreed.
And that, again, is financial literacy.
And I'm looking here, it looks like for this data point, it looks like African Americans are particularly hard hit. If we look at, I'm actively saving money and or investing for my retirement, only 49% of African Americans agree with that statement, versus if we look at Asians, 67%. If we look at whites, 57%. And if we look at Hispanics, 55%. So across the board, I think there's an opportunity there for, you know, specifically with messaging about saving, I think targeting African Americans. Is that something that you're seeing in terms of from a marketing perspective? Are there any kind of brands looking at African Americans and targeting them from a financial literacy perspective?
I haven't seen that specifically, and I think that's a void that we could be addressing, because obviously all the segments need help in saving, but African-American is because obviously the uncertainty they're feeling is also on par with Hispanic. So that takes, it's one of the consequences of that. One of the things we've seen is that the increasing on saving for a rainy day that you have on the second one, we've seen that African-American Hispanic are particularly doing that at this moment in time, which we haven't seen in the past. So they're asking, or I guess they're looking for help in saving, in strategies for saving, and that's one thing that can help. The future is so uncertain right now that investing in retirement is going to have to take a backseat to general saving right now at this moment in time. That's, once they're comfortable with saving, we can move to retirement.
That's really interesting. I mean, and I'm glad you bring up that point, because when I saw the data, and I'm going to be moving on to the next slide 8 here.
Okay.
When I saw the data about investing, which is slide 8, we're looking at the statements, I believe in investing my money. Investing money in the stock market is too risky. I kind of thought, okay, this makes sense. Overall, we've kind of seen this risk averseness among Hispanics, but in relation to what's happening in the financial climate here and saving, that's a really interesting way to look at it, that saving is really taking precedent over investing. And so if we look at this, we look at Hispanics specifically, they appear to be the most risk averse in terms of investing their money. So only 58% of Hispanics believe investing in money, as opposed to 66% of Asians or 65% of whites. But could you elaborate a little bit more on that point? I think that's really interesting in terms of over investing.
That's been historically the case, being more risk averse. And one of the other things is Hispanic historically have seen investing as more as a tangible thing. So they believe in investing, but investing might be investing in real estate.
Mm.
Not necessarily the stock market, which is the counterpoint to your investing money in the stock market, is too risky. So they don't want to jeopardize what they're leaving their kids as a legacy. So they believe more in historically, they have believed more in the physical investing.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I think there's been some articles that I've seen this year that backs up your point about investing in real estate, where Hispanics are really driving, I think specifically millennial Hispanics, driving new homes being purchased. And it sounds like, I mean, what's from a financial services perspective, how are companies dealing with that? Are they focused more on kind of selling Hispanics traditional traditional investment products like mortgages, or are they trying to move them and feel more comfortable into investing as well?
I think that's something that we need to do more. We need to make the Hispanic market specifically more comfortable with both, with investing. And I see a lot of mortgages, but I don't see a lot of investing messaging out there. So we need to make the market comfortable with investment for the future as a more non-tangible concept. And I think the industry in general can do a better job at that.
Yeah,
mortgages, we know the growth is big, but we have a void in investing.
Yeah, and I see some of the bigger financial firms, Chase, Wells Fargo, starting to offer, if I'm not mistaken, starting to offer easier investing within kind of the traditional products, where they can park their money in some kind of investment. So just having those products and services where it's seamless is maybe a good first step.
Yes, definitely. It can do a lot in changing the mentality, because investing in some sense is saving. But the jump from saving to investing is not that big if we give the market tools to understand that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, again, all related to that financial literacy, right?
Yes.
Great. And so switching gears a little bit here, moving on to slide 9, here we're getting more into spending. So we asked a couple of questions here. Which point on the scale best describes how cautious or relaxed you are about how you spend your money? And on the second part of the slide here, we say we looked at the statement, I like to buy myself something expensive every now and then. And we see, and this is a trend here that we're seeing, Hispanics and African Americans reporting to be most cautious about how they spend their money. Yet they're more likely to buy themselves something every now and then, something expensive every now and then, compared to whites and Asian Americans. Angelica, is this kind of in line what you've seen historically? I mean, what's that dynamic here in terms of being cautious and then buying themselves something expensive every now and then? We thought that was an interesting tension there.
Yes, when I saw it, I thought it was very interesting that there's a dichotomy in the market about being very weary about spending your money. But I think it has to do, again, with not having a plan in place of how much money can you spend and how much money you can't. So not having a budget, not being able to plan, makes you cautious because you don't really know. But then the flip side is you have more impulse buying.
Mm.
So because they're not sure what their budget is, then they might be indulging in something when they, on the other side, they say they're cautious. So it's kind of jeopardizing what they're doing on one side with the other one. So everyone wants to feel good once in a while buying something, right? But you have to have a plan of what fits within your budget.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder, you know, looking at like to buy themselves something every now and then, is there a cultural element there? I mean, because we see a lot of similarities when looking at finance, we see a lot of similarities between Hispanic and African American saving habits, purchase habits. Is there something kind of driving that, you know, culturally where they're cautious, but I don't know. I just can't help to make a cultural connection there in terms of buying something every now and then, kind of that living in the moment, maybe is more pronounced among Hispanic and African Americans versus Asians and whites. Do you think there's something of that going on as well?
Yes, I think so. And it has, I think you're right. I think it has to do with that impulse buying, living in the moment, not knowing what's going to be in the future. So better enjoy it right now.
Yeah.
That has to do a lot with it. And also the sharing, when they buy something, well, it's for themselves, but I was going to mention, if you had the point about buying something for their family, regardless of the budget, I think that will also be higher for those segments because it's all about making everyone around you feel good, right?
Exactly. And looking at this data, it was great to see similarities between some of the cohorts, specifically Hispanics and African Americans, because I think this affirms what we do. Right. I mean, looking at this, seeing what the differences are, seeing what the similarities are, and kind of reading what's that context from a cultural perspective, I think can really help companies, to your point, in terms of education, financial literacy, but also being able to capitalize on these shared experiences, like buying themselves something every now and then. I think there's a role for financial services to capitalize on that from a marketing perspective as well.
Yes, definitely. Because if our markets can plan better, their budget better, and then they know how they would not be in a, when they do these things, because they'll be prepared for them and they'll be able to enjoy them more and not feel bad about it after, which is sometimes what happens.
agreed. And so we, moving on to slide 10, we dove a little bit deeper on this idea of being cautious with their money. In the previous slide, we just looked at it by total market and the specific cohorts. Here, if we took total market and we broke it out by age and household income to see, are these drivers of it? And we see that, yes, those who are most cautious with their money tend to be older, and this is overall for total market. They tend to be older and have less disposable income. This makes sense, right? You know, but what's your perspective here? I mean, and again, for those listening, this is total market. We're not looking at any of the cohorts specifically, but all of them in terms of a representative sample.
Well, on the household income, the lower the lower income is obviously has to do with disposable income, right? You have less, you have a lot of fixed things that you need to pay, so you're going to be more cautious on that side. On the age, you have a, you might be on a family, well, you are on a family rearing age, which is 35, 64. You have schools to pay, you have more expenses. So you will be more cautious with your money.
Definitely.
I think those play together. Yeah. And I think if we would break the 18 to 34, for younger and older millennials, we will also see differences there.
And from your experience, Angelica, do you see, I mean, we're just getting into, well, I shouldn't say just, there's some brands that have been doing culture-specific marketing and finance for a while now, but are you seeing brands get a little more sophisticated and targeting, having different messaging for older Hispanics, younger Hispanics, older Hispanic millennials, younger Hispanic millennials? Are you seeing some of that, or is it still kind of marketing to the whole cohort with one message?
No, I've been seeing some of that, but I think it's more on the millennial side than on the older Hispanic. So I think millennial has been such a, I would not want to say buzz, but it has been such a focus for the past 5-6 years that I've seen a lot of millennials focus advertising, because that's the growth market, obviously, for financial, right?
Yeah.
You have family building. It's really hard to change a financial institution once you get to one. So you want to get them when they're starting their financial life.
Interesting.
So that's what I've seen, some advertising more geared to that than the older section. Obviously, when if we get onto the area of retirement, then we will see some older cohorts being targeted. But mostly, I think, is the family starting starting their financial life, which is where you're going to have the biggest potential for a financial company.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I think financial services are maybe a little more sophisticated than other brands in terms of their targeting, I think, because they're in finance, right? They understand the numbers, they understand the potential. So it's good to hear that they're becoming a little bit more sophisticated maybe than other brands and companies. And wow, we're almost hitting up here at our time limit, but I did want to go over this last slide, slide 11, I wanted to end on talking about overall perceptions of banks. This is something that we've been tracking for the past couple of years because, you know, ever since a financial meltdown, we've seen maybe a drop in perception in banks. But interestingly, here we see overall, this 2017, we just did the study that overall perceptions of banks is mostly positive, and especially among Hispanics and African Americans. If we look across the segments, only a small share don't believe in keeping their money in a traditional bank. What do you think this is attributed to? Because I think there's an interesting tension between feeling financially overwhelmed, not feeling necessarily good about personal financial situations in the total market overall, but having a positive view or perception of banks. And again, Hispanics and African Americans particularly, which I think is interesting because they were the hardest hit in the financial crisis. So, I mean, is this positivity? Is this financial institutions doing a good job of positioning themselves? And I mean, what's your thoughts here?
To me, this was very interesting to me because it was surprising. I thought it was going to be not reversed, but maybe flatter than what it is. And what I think it is for Hispanic specifically, it is positivity. It's being more positive about the future and more willing to work with someone. Institutions are very respected in Hispanic. So a banking is a financial institution. It's safer to have your money in a bank than under the mattress, like we were saying before. So I think that has to do a lot with it, a lot of it. With African-American, even though they're not as trusting of some institutions, obviously banks are there, keep your money, and you know a bank is not going to fail, especially a big one. It's not going to fail and run away with your money, like in some other countries happened. which is another thing that happens to Hispanics, and that's why they're more positive about banks in this country. But the keeping my money in a traditional bank, I think it's very small. And I think the definition of a traditional bank is changing.
Mm.
That was a point I wanted to make on this chart.
That's a good
because
point.
A traditional bank can be the big ones, and it can also be you have a lot of online banks that feel traditional, but they don't have a branch. So they might not, that definition of traditional bank in my, in what I'm looking at is starting to change. You have State Farm has a bank too.
That's so really interesting. You gave me an idea. I think in our next, when we do a next wave of this, it'd be really interesting to see, one, what does the total market consider a traditional bank? And two, are there any differences in the cohorts and how they view traditional banks, right? I my assumption is that there's going to be some big differences between millennials and older cohorts in terms of what they view as a traditional bank, right? Because, I don't know, I'm thinking about mobile wallets, et cetera. I mean, is that is that viewed as a bank, right? Or apps?
Yes.
No,
I
very
don't know.
Good point.
So you can help me also prove that hypothesis on your next one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, great. I think we had a great conversation. And thank you again, Angelica, for joining us. I think we learned a lot more about what's happening financially and what different drivers, right, in terms of culture, in terms of perception and how the different cohorts change and are similar. And thanks again to our listeners. You can find the Think Now Research podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Our next report will be titled Think Now Media, in which we'll delve into the media habits of the total market. Keep an eye out for that report to be published the first week of August. To stay up to date on all our reports, please sign up for our newsletter at thinknowresearch.com. And thanks again, everyone. Feel free to reach out to us at info@thinknowresearch.com or on Twitter @thinknowtweets should you have any question regarding this or past reports. And thanks again to our sponsor, Lucid. Lucid is the world's largest audience platform for sourcing and understanding human answers. Real deterministic data about human behavior at scale.